Yeah, okay. All right, so here we are in chapter 6, the last chapter of Sefer Yetzirah, and this is the fifth Mishnah. In the last Mishnah, we explained those awesome concepts that Rebbe Lemelech talks about, how a person has to be ready to sacrifice himself al Kiddush Hashem in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Nikdashti B'Soich B'nei Yisrael, that we can do this mitzvah of sanctifying, of giving God's holiness inside of us, if at every free moment or a person's lying in his bed doing nothing or sitting alone, then he says, you know, I wish there was a fire here that I could jump into for the sake of Kiddush Hashem. And then he talks about how we have to go a step further when we sing Kriya Shema and Shemina Esra, the first bracha, that a person has to mamish, like, imagine that he's being tortured and somebody's trying to force him to denounce or renounce his belief in the oneness and his amunah, and faith in the oneness of God, and he says, no, you can hurt me all you want, and I will die for al Kiddush Hashem. And then there was a third concept, that when a person experiences pleasure, Rebbe Lemelech says, if he's eating or he's in bed with his wife, then as soon as he starts to feel pleasure, he should tell himself, he should imagine, he should say, Rabboni Shalom, if bandits or robbers or kidnappers were to come into my house right this minute and steal me away and torture me to renounce my religion, and I would die al Kiddush Hashem, I would have even greater pleasure than this physical pleasure which I am having, and thus a person can be mekayim the mitzvah, fulfill the obligation of Nikdashti B'Soich B'nei Yisrael, God says, and I will be sanctified inside the Jewish people. And we talked about how these three different levels correspond to the three levels of the Ratzon. So this is a Psicha L'Mishnehe. Achrei Hisbiroi, after explaining Shebechinas HaSholosh Ritzonos, that there are three kinds of desire, Uteshukois, and longings Shebadim inside a person, Hainarotzen B'Me'ayim, there's the physical sensation of longing and desire that we experience in the viscera, in the gut, in the kishkes, which we said that's the Bechina of Mayim, which is a, you know, the most basic desire of all is thirst. And then higher than that is the Bechina of Lev, the heart, which is the element of Ruach, spirit. And then higher than that, so in the heart we experience love and the desire to worship God. B'moyach, and in the brain, in the mind, which is the Bechina of Esh, which is the element of fire, we experience the desire for prophecy and to connect with God and to understand the deep depth of the Torah. And we were learning in the previous chapter, in the previous Mishnah, how chayiv lahakriv al mizbach ha'olah, how a person has to offer his desires on the altar as a burnt offering, lahafshita minigei atzmoy, to strip them of personal bias. Bo b'mishnah zu, now in this Mishnah, in the fifth Mishnah, he comes levayis shoyrish haratzoynis to explain where the desires come from. Beteli v'galgal v'lev, in the teli and galgal and lev that he mentioned in the previous Mishnah. Ve'ech yishtal shlum min harotzen aposhet, and how the bechinois, how the levels of teli, galgal and lev, and the three different levels of the stomach and the heart and the mind, how they evolved from the rotzen haposhet, from the very simple desire. In Iksiv, it's written in Koheles, in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, in the first pasuk, lekol zman, to everything there's a time, ve'es lekol chefetz tachas hashemayim, and there's a season for everything under heaven. So the word chefetz, now we, previously in the Sefer Yetzirah, we've talked about how the idea of chefetz, the first time we come across it, is when Shechem talks about, Chamor talks about his son Shechem, who had fallen in love with Dinah. He says, Ki chofetz bas Yaakov. He's fallen in love with the daughter of Yaakov. Chofetz is a chefetz means desire, right? Again, Rashi says, Lakol chefetz, to every thing, Lakol davar. right? He doesn't talk about every desire. And Rashi says, Kol hadvarim kruim chafetzim b'losh Mishnah. Things are called chafetzim in the expression, when in the Mishnah. Again, Rashi doesn't explain why Koheles would be speaking in Lashon Mishnah, right? But Rashi translates the verse in Ecclesiastes as to everything a time and a season to all things. But we translate it according to the Zohar. In the Zohar Kodesh it says, Chafetz is an expression of desire. It says in the Zohar, Mai ve'ez l'kol chafetz, what does it mean, a season to every chafetz? Zimna ve'idon, a time and a moment to l'koyla, for everything, l'kol ha'huru usa, for all that desire, the ishtakach l'tatu, that exists in the world. So now, Shlomo HaMelech is saying, there's a place and a time for every desire under the sun. And this is how we were learning above in the second chapter in the sixth Mishnah. There in the Mishnah it talked about Chof Beis Chafetzim, 22 desires. Umadgish Shekulam Echad Yachad Im Aguf. In the Mishnah there it says that all the 22 desires are in one body. And we said that the one body is the 22 Sefiros. The 10 Sefiros, which constitute one body. So the 22 desires are inside the 10 Sefiros, like saying the 22 letters are inside the 10 Sefiros, which we have been learning here. There's the 3 horizontals, the 7 verticals, and the 12 diagonals. Umazbir Shamba Mishnah, and there in the Mishnah we explained Shekala Yitzur, every thing that is formed, V'chol Dibur, and every word, Shem Echad, the one name. The whole of the sixth chapter is really a reflection on various Mishnahs that needed more explanation. So here in our Mishnah we're going to explain what is that name, because we said they're all Shem Echad. What is that Shem Echad? Now in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Ksiv Yoitzer Oyru Voyru Choshech, it says he forms light and he creates darkness. Oyser Shalom makes peace, uboire ra, and creates evil. That's the pasuk in Yeshaya. When we say yoytzayir uboire choshech, oyser shalom uboire es hakoil, right? We leave out the word ra, but in the pasuk in Yeshaya, it says yoytzayir uboire choshech, oyser shalom uboire ra. The question is, we have here Yitzira, Bria, Asiya, right? Yoitzer Oyer, he forms light. Even though in Bereshis it says, Bereshis Boro Elekim Es Hashemayim Es Erev Elekim Yehi Oyer, so that suggests that the light is a creation, right? But in Yeshaya it talks about the formation of light, because, let's face it, the light that we have comes from the sun, right? The sun is not a creation, it's made of other things, it's formed. What is it? Mostly it's formed from hydrogen. So hydrogen is a creation, right? The sun already is just an agglomeration of lots of hydrogen molecules come together, then the gravity pulls them together until it bursts into flame, right? And it becomes this self-perpetuating atomic explosion that we see as this heat-giving thing called the sun, because the hydrogen is breaking down into helium. So the sun, the light that we have here is a yetzira, it's not a bria. Choshech is a bria, right? Yeshaya says, Uboire choshech, because darkness, really, darkness is something that didn't exist. Even the concept of darkness didn't exist, because what is darkness? Darkness is absence of light. How can you have absence of light? How can you have absence of God? Where's such a thing? So, the concept of the absence of God and of light, or the absence of anything, that's a bria, that's yesh miayin, that's something from nothing, that didn't exist. Oyser Sholoim makes peace. We know that Asiya, the first time we have the word Oyser in the Torah, it says Vayaseh Elokim Sirukia, God made the heavens, Rashi says, Hamda al Tikunoi. So Asiya is associated with Tikkun, and Sholem is associated with Tikkun. It means to fix. Of course, fix doesn't mean necessarily mean to mend. The word fix means to, in Yiddish, avekzustellen, you know, to stand something, to make it be able to stand by itself. That's the meaning of the word fix. Sholem is a tikkun. And then the pasuk says, uboire ra, and creates evil. So evil, again, is not a construct. Evil is a creation, yesh me'ayin, because like darkness, evil has no place, it's not a natural thing. The only natural thing is God, right? So everything that is in the universe is a creation of something from nothing. So the question is, Lama bora ra brio yesh me'ayin? Why did God create evil? Evil, if it's not a construct, it's a yesh me'ayin, right? It's something that's created from nothing. Why? Why bother? I mean, why create evil? So let's see what the Mishnah says. Gam kol chefetz zel umazeh boro elikim. Also, every desire, this opposite this, God created. Toiv l'umas ra, good versus bad. Toiv mi toiv, good from good. Ra mi ra, and bad from bad. Toiv mavchines ra, good empowers the bad. Vera mavchines toiv, and bad empowers the good. The end of this Mishnah is actually way down on page 23. Toiv gonuz l'tzadikim, good is hidden away for tzaddikim, v'ra l'rishoim, and bad for the evil, for the wicked. So let's go up here and have a look in the notes. Gam kol. So the first time we find, this is note number 32, the first time we find this phrase gam kol, it's a fascinating. It says, gam kol choyli v'chol makah sh'leikusa b'sefer ha'Torah azois. God warns us that also every curse and evil and illness that's not written in the Torah, God will bring on us if we don't do what we're told, right? In the Torah and the warning that Moshe Rabbeinu gives us in Parshas Ki Tovoi, so all the curses, or Atabair, or Atabasode, V'yisim Meshugim Imare Enecho, says there, when it's all over, and God says, Gam kol choyle v'kol makah sh'loi kosu b'sefer ha'Torah, all the terrible things that could possibly happen that are not written in the Torah, that also happen. So, what's the question is, we have a rule in the Torah that the word gam is a ribui. Right? So, it always means to include something that's not in the text. So, if it says kol, all, what could gam then come to mean? So this is actually a Gemara. The koshamash lahoisiv yosal kol. What could you add to the word kol? Everything with the word gam. Isa b'gemorin gittin. The Gemara in Gittin says, mikora chashivet deraymoya v'nokte bilyoni de kushbanke m'shamsha arasayu. There was a time when people thought that the pictures that you see, the images that you see, that the images you see when you're making love, that those images make a difference to the child. So if you're looking at ugly things, if you have in your room ugly pictures on the wall, then chalila, your children could be ugly. If you have beautiful things in your room, beautiful pictures, then it makes an impression, and then the children that you conceive in that room will also be. So in the beginning, the Gemara says, Chashivet deraymoy, the Roman nobles, have anokta bilyoyne de gushpanka, they used to have pictures, beautiful paintings in their rooms, in their bedrooms. Umishamsha asayu, and then they would mishamish their mito, their beds, they would have intimacy with those pictures. Mikam ve'elech, but what happened after the Churban Beis HaMikdash? Ma'is b'nei Yisroel v'osru b'kare de purayu. So they used to bring Jewish people, Jewish men, Jewish girls, and they would tie them to the bedposts. So because the Jews were so beautiful, so that was, you could, you know, you, it would work better than having pictures. So the Gemara says, Omalei chad lechavrai, ho heiche ksive. One of them, these two nebuch, two yeshiva bochim, they're tied one to each bedpost, right? And those disgusting people are doing what they're doing, right? One says, one looks to the other and says, wo steht das in der Teure? Where did the Torah say that such a thing could happen? It's so bizarre. This is such a bizarre punishment, or it's such a bizarre invention. Like, who could have thought of something? Where did in any of the warnings of the prophets was there ever such a, who could think of such a thing, such a demeaning, humiliating thing? So the other one answers, Gam kol choyle v'kol maka shalikosu b'seif ha-Torah says. The word, you know, on top of the call, everything, all the bad things that could possibly happen, plus what? He says, this is what he meant. So the word gam kol is associated, what I want to say is that even here in our Mishnah, again, you know, one of the things that we find in Sefer Yetzirah is that almost every word that the Sefer Yetzirah tells is refers back to some kind of rotzoin, some kind of desire, right? Note number 33. Gam kol chefetz zelum mazeh. Desire, one versus the other. What is it? Why are desires versus one another? Why are they opposites? Kol rotzen yesh le rotzen achem magbile. Because every desire has an opposite, a mirror image, or a diametric opposite, or a parallel. V'hi soiden, it's mamsh a secret. This is one of the mysteries of the Torah. If you go back to the preface to the second chapter, Hizbanu Shekol Soidus HaTorah, there we explain that all the mysteries of the Torah, Mefias Alachas Mishtei Bechinas, Oybi Soid Zocha, Oybi Soid Nekeva, that all the mysteries, you can only learn a secret of the Torah inside another secret. And there are different kinds. Veshum Soid Eina Niglis Ela Toich Soid Acheres. In order to acquire an entry into any of the mysteries of the Torah, you have to be inside. Oisoid omekum chuse. It's either a deep hidden mystery, which is a nekeva, it's a feminine mystery. Oisoid tome vigonis, or it's a buried. It's a buried mystery, which is b'chinas zochah. You know, sometimes Shlomi used to say, Chera, here you have to open your heart. When he would say a Torah, sometimes he would say, and here you have to open your heart. And sometimes he would say, Chevra, this is the deepest depth. And I often wondered, you know, was there a difference between the, you know, like, after many years, you know, it says like, Ein Odom Oymed Al Divrei Rabbo Ela Ad Arboim Shono, you know, it takes you 40 years to get to understand what your Rebbe means. So Shlomi, you know, was a great Mekubal. So he was telling us, you know, there are certain Torahs which are masculine Torahs, and there are certain Torahs which are feminine Torahs, and each, you know, each soid, you can only uncover a soid inside another soid. And so he was telling us which is a male soid and which is a female soid, right? So sometimes he would say, this is the deepest depth, and sometimes he would say, and here you have to open, you know. So everything that he said was, he was telling us Kisvei Arizal, you know. So Chefetz Zula Umazu, the Mishnah tells us, desires are always magbil, they're always parallel, they're always opposite to one another. Note number 34. Boro Elohim, God created. So we were saying, Hi Hashem Echad Muskel El Perik Beis Mishnevov, this name Elohim, this is the Shem Echad that we learned about in the second chapter in the last Mishnah there. And this is what it says, Tzoyfe Umamir, he looks and substitutes v'oises kol ha'yitzur, and he makes all for everything that is formed v'skol ha'dibur, and every word shem echad. That was how the Mishnah was phrased. It doesn't say he makes it out of, or he makes it with, or makes it into, right? It just says Eskol hadibur, shem echad, one name, makes every word one name. So here in our Mishnah Chemur Shesenu Loshen Bora Likim, so here we come back to this concept God creates, Lamed al Shem Zomuskul Lamed Beis Po'omim B'Masa Bereshis, because the name Elikim is mentioned 32 times in the story of creation from the beginning, Bereshis Bora Likim, until you get to the end of the sixth day, and says Asher Bora Likim Lasois, right? Yoim Hashishi Vayechulu Hashemayim, there's a Bora Likim Lasois, so from the beginning until there, you get 32 times it says the name Elikim. Sheshem Elikim hu shoyresh hachafetzim kulam. And in the Sefer Yetzirah tells us that the name Elikim is the source of all desires. It's all chafetzim, right? But the word chafetz also means everything. Now, Perik Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, we said that the inyan of the Shem Elikim is Gematria Hateva. The name Elikim is Gematria Nature. Shehi Mekor V'Shorish Kol HaHester. Because what is essentially, you know, what is it we say, oh, why do things fall down? Oh, because, you know, it's gravity and one body attracts another body in the inverse square ratio and all this, you know, it's like, it's very interesting, but how do you connect it with God? Right? All right, if I answer, yeah, you know why everything falls down? Because God made it like that. It's not really answer, because you can't really do any work after that. Oh, well, if God made it happen, I guess, you know, what's to discover after that, right? On the other hand, I can become a scientist, right, and figure out why gravity works, but then where's God, you know? Where's the Creator? So, Hateva, nature, hides the Creator. It's true that there are many, many scientists who look at nature and they say, ah, I see God, right? But there are many people who listen to music and they say, ha, I see God, right? Or look at a great painting, or look at a sunset, right? But the trouble is, when you look at nature, yeah, the whole point about it is that God is hidden within it. So, the nature is like a hester. Shekiilu v'kaviyochel, it's as though, as it were, yesh koyach l'akchish hashgoch protis shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu alaylomoy, that nature gives a person, if he wants, if he's stupid enough, it gives him a way of denying the Hashgach HaProtis, the divine providence. Because he says, Ein HaKor B'dei Shemayim, you know, if the apple breaks off, then it falls down. That's not God, you know, God's not in control of that. Yeah, I mean, he's in control of the big picture, but not the small picture. And we believe not a leaf falls off a tree, like, without God says that it should be so, right? Because when we look at nature, we see Nipsa is a koyach l'teva, that the nature has a power, that he was given a power, chas v'chalila. V'kaviyochel nidme levnei Adam, and so, as it were, it looks to people keilu mechase kvoide v'achduze b'shem elekim, that God hides, as it were, his oneness inside the name elekim. Because the very name elekim is a plural, right? So, if not for the fact that nature is the way it is, you know, everything that we did all day, every day, you know, we would become aware of God, right? But then nature makes it possible to become unaware. So nature is a hester. Nature comes from the name Elikim. V'isa b'tikun ezoi, tikun esrin, in the Zohar Kodesh, we learn, this is what it says, Bereshis boro Elikim. Elikim is mi ele. The word Elikim can be split into the two words mi ele. Who are these? So it's a question, right? The word Elikim is who are these? Alei itme, and it's about this, the Zohar Kodesh says, we learn, su'u moro minechem, lift up your eyes on high, ru'u mi boro ele, who created these? And if you look back in Mishnah, in the first perek in Mishnah Vav, we talked about this idea of su'u moro minechem, the idea of there was a machlokes between the Yid HaKodesh and the Rebbe Rebunim about what is a posuk that a person should use. the holy yids asked the Rebbe Rabbeinim, you know, what's your posuk, right? Like, everybody needs a posuk. So he said, my posuk is, Su morim enechem, lift your eye up high, ru'umi bora ela, and look who created these. So when, you know, you look out, it's, you can see that, you look at the world, it's clear there's a God. So he said to him, every goy could live from that posuk. Ayid needs a posuk, anoichi Hashem lekecho. That's for Ayid, right? So that's a very profound machlokes here, because we were talking about when you look out at the world and you see God, that's chesed. When you look out at the world and you see God, it's like we're overcome with love. But when you look into yourself and you see God, then you're overcome with fear. That's yira. So the two approaches, that was the difference in the approach between the Holy Yid and the Rebbe Rabbunim. So that is also connected in here with this Tikkun Ezayah, who says, Bereshis bor lekim, elekim is mi ele. And he brings that posuk of Su morim enechem, lift up your eyes, ru'u mi bora ele. Note number 35. So, toiv le'um asra. So, they're one opposite the other. Good is opposite versus evil. Le'el b'peri beis mishnah dalet, above in the second chapter in the fourth mishnah, the Mishnah said, "Ve'im b'toyv le'malam e'oinik," and in good, there's nothing higher than pleasure. "Ve'im b'ro'o le'mato minega," and in evil, there's nothing lower than plague. So these two words, oinek and nega, are created from the same letters, ayin nun gimel. And so there, in that Mishnah, the Mishnah is talking about the different gates that are formed, the 231 gates that are formed by the juxtaposition of the different letters, and how when you introduce a third one, you can do it on one side or on another side. If you have a look at here, you've got ayin nun, nun gimel. So you've got an ayin nun gimel, and then you've got a nun gimel ayin. So the nun gimel stay the same, but the ayin moves either from the front or the back, right? And then it changes the word. And oineg, it changes, that's the highest thing in good is pleasure. And nega changes the lowest thing in evil is plague. There we talked about the different kinds of pleasure and plague that Mishnah is talking about. Kan, here in our Mishnah, mazbe lama chayv ametzias liyaskein. Why does it have to be so? If God's desire, simple desire, is to do good and to benefit and to be benign to every creature that He creates, because that's one of the fundamental beliefs in Jewish faith, and it's one of the fundamentals, it's the most important thing in the Torah and in our religion. God is good. And God's desire is to do good for His creation. You know, I mean, in this sense alone, Judaism is different from all other religions, right? Fundamentally, God is benign. And that's, in spite of our thousands of years of history, I mean, that's the Mikrei HaEmunah. Again, we talked about in the previous chapter there, in the first chapter in Mishnah Vav, we talked about how the Rambam avoids making that one of the 13 principles of faith. He doesn't say ani ma'amin shakadosh baruch hu toiv, right? He could have said ani ma'amin shakadosh baruch hu toiv imeitiv u goymel toiv, right? But he doesn't. He just says ma'amin b'munah shakadosh baruch hu goymel toiv, that God rewards good to those who do good, and He gives, you know, punishment to those. He doesn't say ani believe that God is toiv, right? Because who knows why the Rambam did. But it's still one of, right? David Amalek says, Tov Hashem. God is good. And it's one of our beliefs. So if that's the case, that God desires to do kid, Lama Bora Ra, why did God create evil? Elo, Ho Inin Hu. What's it about? Shehatoivu b'chinas oinek she'in lemala imenu. Good is pleasure, that there's nothing higher than that. We said Eden Nahar Gan, Ayin Nun Gimel. You have Eden, and then you have this river that flows out of Eden. says v'nahar yoytze me'eden lahashkeis esagan. We talked about it in the second chapter. So you have the Eden above, then you have the river that flows out of it, and then you have the Gan. That's ayin nun gimel oineg. We said that we were talking, and the Zohar Kodesh talks about how the Nahar represents Yaakov, who flows Tiferes, you know, everything flows outwards, downwards, the pleasure, right? Ulu'umazeh, and corresponding it to it, Boro Nega Shein Lamatim, and God created the Nega, the plague, from which there's nothing lower. What's Nega Netarkon? Nochash Gavu Amalek. So the flip side of Yaakov is Amalek. So the serpent and pride and Amalek are the flip sides of Eden Nahagan. V'hine itse b'sefer machshav z'choretz, Reb Tzodok HaKohen says like this. Koy masora, just as there are 10 sephiras of sweetness, right, of holiness, of light, there's a shadow. So what's the keter of the dark side? It's pride. V'hasoif, what's the malchus of the dark side? Hu hatav, that's lust. V'hi anukva, gam b'koyma hatav atzma. So even if you have the whole tree that's based on desire, but there's a desire right at the bottom, so where does the keter of the dark side come from? It comes from the from pride of feeling better than. You should know, it says, we say, umoisa odam min abehema oyin ki hakoil hovel, and man is what is man? Man is no better. Man is no better than an animal. It's all vanity, right? We say this in davening. Man is no better than an animal. This is, who believes such a thing? You know, who believes such a thing? I'll tell you who believes such a thing. Yaakov Avinu never felt that he was better than anything. Not even an animal. So what's the flip side? You have Esav, who believes he's better than everybody, right? That's the dark side, and that's the keter of the dark side. So what's the lust which is at the bottom, which is the malchus of the dark side? That is the desire to have someone to be better than. So you see how the 10 sephiros of the dark side, how they connect, right? So at the top there is the feeling of I am better than, right? That's pride, that's gava, that's the keter. What's the malchus of it? I need somebody to be better than, right? I need somebody to lord it over. I need someone. So that's the whole inion of malchus, is that I need, the king has to have somebody to, you know, ein melech b'loy am, right? Leis lemigar meiklum. So the dark side of that keter is that, oh, I need someone to lord it over. Because this is the final keter, just as we have in our sephiras, you know, you have keter the top, and then you have malchus, which is really the keter of the tree underneath it. So you have in the dark side also, and it all comes from the source of the of uncleanliness, which is pride. The kisra rishon hu shorish hageres v'yisem kelehim. Where does that come from? It comes from the Nochash, it comes from the serpent, who said, V'hiyisim kelehim, you'll be like God. And then the end, what does it end up? Is that we end up longing for somebody to lord it over. And the Reb Tzodok talks about how this is ultimately, you know, this thing of needing to lord it over someone. This spreads out among Yidden themselves, and this becomes the shorish of all kinds of unclean desires. And there, Reb Tzodok also says, Adam Rishon's first sin really was in his mind. Shemuv b'tikune Zohar, as we say in the Tikune Zohar. V'zeu adimyon shehichnis bo ha'nochash, this is the illusion that he allowed the nochash to put into him. B'mashoma v'yisim kelehim, he really believed the serpent, the snake, when the snake says, you'll be like God. Because what could be stupider to believe you're going to be like God because you eat from a tree? You're going to be like God? Like, but that was the koyach of, you know, of the nochash, that he got Adam to believe that. And what was the trigger for Adam believing it? It was pride. And each of us vulnerable. We each of us vulnerable to this kind of stupidity, that the nochash, the desire, can talk us into believing that we can be more than we are by doing something that we shouldn't be doing. And Adam Arishon, who started off being as perfect as he could be, as God says, I said, Elohim Atem, Hichnis Boi Dimishum Mamashken. And the Nochash, the serpent, put into Adam's mind that when God says, I said you are Elohim, that he meant God. Right? And it's not so. We're human. I mean, that is our greatness, right? That we're human. That we're not God. The Peri Beis Mishnah Dalet, in the second chapter, in the fourth Mishnah, it said, Esrim Mishtaim Oisis, he saw 22 foundation letters, Kavuas Begalgal, they're fixed in the wheel, Beresh Lamed Aleph Shurim, in 231 wheels, in 231 gates, Choyze Galgal Ponev Ocha, the wheel turns back and forwards, and there we explained, it doesn't say Yosh V'Hofach, right, it doesn't say to and fro, it says Ponev Ocha, face and back. And what it means, sheish the kolabriya b'chinas ocha. Everything in creation has a shadow; it has a backside. The inyan ochu efech aponim, and the backside is always the opposite mirror image of the front. And that's why yesh merkava de misabusa. There is a merkava of darkness, right, of tuma, of uncleanness. Shemamukim sfiris kesa yesh me'en oisa inim betuma. Just like we have the holiness of Kesa, we have the dark side of Kesa, which is pride, the Chelecholat Sefiris, and so we have for each of the Sefiris. Venerali Kilehim Loshen Rabim, and it seems to me, I want to say, if it's possible to say, that the word Elohim, the name of God Elohim, is plural, Ki Yesh Bechines Ponim or Bechines Ocha Zeleh Muzeh. Because as the Mishnah, as our Mishnah says, Gam kol chefet zel umazeh boro elikim. It's dafka elikim that creates zel umazeh. And in fact, it's implicit in the name, which is the Hester, which makes it possible to hide, for God to hide himself. Yesh b'chinas ein b'toiv l'mala mohinek. So within everything there is the, there's nothing higher than pleasure, and there's nothing lower than plague. And I want to avoid this idea that there's a split somehow, that, you know, God wants to create everything and he puts it into the kelim, and the kelim shatter and somehow explode, and so they split away, and so you get the idea of evil being, you know, vessels that can't withstand the holiness and stuff. I want to say a different way. Bebriya shebor alekim, that in the creation that God created is ponim v'ocha. There's the front and the back. The kol dova, everything. Haponim goy lekoroya, the front is obvious and it's visible to everybody who looks. Ve'efshelakir ponim v'ponim, you can see it face to face. That's why it's called ponim. V'hu inyan alekim b'kol ha'Torah kula, and that's what the name alekim means. Whenever you see it in the Torah, this is facing God face to face. Shebekaldova ba'olam efshel roisizberch, because anything that you look at in the world, you can see God in it if you want to. Bechinas Umara Menachem, as we said, oh, lift up your eyes, Ru Mi Bora Ela, who created these? Mi Bora Ela, Mi Ela, is Elakim. Vaha Ochar, and the backside of everything is the Nistar, is the hidden. V'ef shel istakel olav, you can't see it. Elim came no odam poina atzmoi. How do you see the backside? Ah, you have to turn your back. Poina atzmoi v'noitel achoyev. If a person turns his back on God and faces the other direction, me'es pnei elikim, and turns away from the pnei elikim, sham roya achrem. Then already you see the backside. And then already you see the dark side. Because when you turn away from God and you don't want to look at God, you want to look at creation and not see God, then already you're into gaius, then you're into pride. And as soon as you're into pride, you end up needing somebody to lord it over. Note number 36. You said, toiv mi toiv. So what does it mean? Ha-toiv shebebechirus ha-odam. The good from the good. Well, how does the good from good? The good that a person chooses, bo min ha-toiv shebo'elokim b'chinas oneg, comes from the good that God created. V'hu ha-tanug ha-nivre mekabolas oy p'nei elokim b'chinas ponim. The pleasure a person gets from receiving the light of God's face, that is the toiv that comes from the toiv. On the other hand, in note 37, you have ra mi ra, which is the bad harashav b'chiras ha'odam, the bad choice that a person makes, bom in harashav b'lekim b'chinas nega, comes from the plague that God created, which is the yisurim, which is the pain, suffering, and the suffering comes from the hester, comes from the hiddenness, which is the backside. We said, Toiv mavchin is a ra, v'ra mavchin is a toiv. Good empowers the bad, and bad empowers the good. What does that mean? In the Be'mam Chaim, we learn, he says like this, is mamish what he says. Habchina revius, he talks about different levels, different aspects of good and bad. Habchina revius, b'toiv is a ra, hu b'oilam al derech hazeh. He talks about the good inside the bad in this world. This is how it is. Ki hine yidua she'ein simcha v'nachas v'tanuk ba'olam. There is no simcha, there's no joy or pleasure or satisfaction in the world. Mikol machmadei olam, of all the offer that the world has to offer. Oya revas ni'imas yididus olam abo. Or there's nothing comparing to the pleasure, the sweetness of the love of the world to come, kashi yiska ho odam asha ala oris, she is kalishem shemaim al yodoi, that a person, nothing compares to the zechus, the merit of a person in this world, that the name of God should be sanctified through him. V'odam Yisrael, and a person, a Jew, asha to'am chafetzu Utchuka v'chashuka zois benafshoi, somebody who has tasted this desire, this longing in his soul, v'zochel lemala niflosh yiskad Hashem Hakadosh Baruch Hu yodei b'aretz, and has merited to have the name of God sanctified through him in the world. Vaday kol ramach yivor v'shesagida v'ruchen nishmusay asher b'kirboi yoyidu v'shabchem v'forim v'roim b'chol ois. That surely all his 248 limbs and his 365 sinews and his breath and his neshama inside him, all of them would sing and lord and say hallel and exalt with all their strength and power and all their everything. They would give thanks to God. To the King of Kings. To give, you know, if a person could merit to have the name of God sanctified through him, there would be no thanks, and there's no pleasure, and there's no satisfaction that compares with being that instrument of sanctifying the name of God, right? I mean, what do we pray for? Yizkadov, yizkadosh shmeirav. That's all we daven, right? The whole davening is kodosh, kodosh, kodosh. So if I should do something that Baruch Hashem, you know, that God is sanctified through me, V'chol liboy v'atzmiyuse v'kol ha'sheboy yimul ha'simcha v'tanag. Person's heart and his bones, everything inside him will be full of joy and pleasure, satisfaction, the end case, without end. Ki ein tov v'olim godom mizeh. Nu, everybody knows what it means, you know. What does it mean? Tadal Kiddush Hashem, yeah? The ultimate Kiddush Hashem. When do we make a brocha? Likadosh Shem Shemayim, right? Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, he was in England when war broke out, and he went back to Poland because he felt that he needed to teach people how to dial Kiddush Hashem, right? People said to him, Rebbe, there's so much you could do here in England. We need people who teach Torah the way it's supposed to be taught. But he said, no, I have to go back. And he went to teach people, you know, how you make the bracha. Baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech olam, asher kiddushonu b'mitzvoso v'tzivonu lekadosh shmoy barabim. God who commanded us to sanctify His name in public. Right? When do we make such a bracha? Yeah. Unfortunately, we can't make it when we're alive, right? We have to make it mamash as we're being killed. And the Beim HaMichaim says, so what could be a bigger pleasure, right? So that's mamash toiv meira. The greatest pleasure comes from the greatest pain. Like we talked last week about Rebbe Lemelech says, through this bad comes this good, the greatest good that could possibly be, that we merit to have Shem Shemaim Niskaj, their Pirusha Ram Avchenes HaToiv. So that's what it means, that evil empowers good, and good empowers evil. Mavchen, what does it mean? The word mavchen, note number 39, b'choy noshen chozik v'yizchaskas, you know, most of the people who translate Sefer Yetzirah, they use b'choy as to inspect or to inquire, to b'china, you know, but we showed from the posuk in the third mishnah of the first perek that b'choy means to empower, to strengthen. Toiv gonuz l'tzadikim, so good is put away, is hidden for the tzadikim, and bad for the evil, for the wicked. What does it mean? Toiv gonuz l'tzadikim, good is hidden for the tzadikim. Yesh bechinas toiv she'ena niras bo'olam klal. There's a level of goodness that can't be seen in the world at all. He arots na poshet shiredes milmalu lamato. This is the simple desire that flows from the highest place to the lowest place. We've talked about it in many places in the Sefer Yetzirah. Mekor Perek Aleph Mishnah Beis, and the first time we encounter this idea of the flow that comes down from above, Kishoyme Bris Yichud Mechuvenes Be'emtzai, it said that there are 10 sefirot split into 2, 5 and 5, and in between them is this Bris Yichud that flows down between the 10 fingers and the 10 toes. When we talked about what is the idea of bris, bechinas gonus, that's what's been hidden away from the beginning. And we talked to the Alpi Kabbalah, the Rambam, the Ramban, and Rabbeinu B'chai and other Rishonim, they talk about the inin of bris, that it talks about that which was always there before the creation of the world. That it's God's intention, God's desire to do good. That's what bris means. It exists and it can't be seen. So that's the hidden good. Because the tzaddikim are there on that very first, on that middle column. And so, they're the ones who experience that flow through the bris. It doesn't say, ra gonuz l'rishoyim. It doesn't say that the evil is hidden for the wicked. Why doesn't it say the evil? It says the good is hidden for the good. It doesn't say the evil is hidden for the wicked. Why? Because that very same bris, which is the toiv for the tzaddikim, which is hidden, ra l'rishoyim, it itself is bad for the wicked. Like I heard in the name of the Rishonah, the Heilige Rishonah, he said that Gan Eden is the Gehenim for the rishoyim. Right? You don't have to invent some place which is burning hot and, you know, and full of ice or whatever. Gan Eden itself is the biggest Gehenna for the wicked. And for a wicked person to have to look at all the tzaddikim, all the good people enjoying the pleasures of Gan Eden, of learning Torah. I mean, what could be a bigger punishment than having to see that? Shane, we'll stop here.